And you might like to turn in your Bible to Revelation and chapter 1. May I remind you of our Lord Jesus Christ before he was crucified. Our Lord Jesus Christ for 3 1/3 years of public ministry, public presentation, he went up and down the land, and he went up and down in the will of God the Father in the midst of total unbelief. The Jewish people, the Gentile people, Romans, the Gentiles, Roman Empire, his own disciples struggled even into the upper room as we studied, reminded ourselves, all the way until after the cross and Pentecost. So he was just plain all by his lonesome. And he said so. He said so. But my Father is with me. Now, he didn't succumb to the whims, the ways, the world, any of the problems. He stayed right in there and went to the cross to fulfill the will of God. And nothing in forever was ever going to stop that from happening, that the Lamb of God had to be slain. And he did that. Now, having done that, he rose again, and he gave the only sign he's going to give to the unbelieving world in which we live, is the sign of his resurrection, and that's going to be an empty tomb, and a believing heart, an empty tomb and a believing heart, and the local body of believers gathered together until he comes, reminding the world that he is the head of the body. That's where we are. And that can only be, if you read the bulletin, that can only be expressed in this kind of event when we meet together. It is impossible to do it anywhere else. It just won't work. You can't line up a bunch of jars with different parts of the body in it and say, there's the body. No, the body has to be like yours, full of all the parts in harmony together. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so when you get saved and receive the Lord as your Savior, you are a believing heart to bear witness to his wonderful person. Now, and his person is the same, John 17, 18, as the Father sent me, what? So send I you. And so I want to know how he sent, and we've done this 1,000 times. He was sent, we just mentioned, 3 1/3 years. That's what he did. So what are we supposed to do as the body? We're supposed to enjoy the life of our Lord Jesus Christ in a phenomenal way as we go up and down to work, home, school, play, sickness and disease, death and everything else, and the world looks because the believers are believing, and they say, and they don't say anymore, where is thy God? But when the believers aren't believing and we're succumbing to this thing in the wrong way, the world rightly says, where is your God? Where is the God that you said you trust? We're religious people, we're political people, we have the world system and what we do. This is what we do. Now, where's your system? Where's your Savior? You said you have a Savior. Or else trust our system for the ills and aches of your daily life until he comes. And therefore, don't get sidetracked. Now, having said that, in Romans, at Revelation, the church, remember, is Revelation 1:20, the church is 7 lampstands, gold candlesticks, and they're golden at 1:20. They're golden. And gold, as you know, without doing it all, otherwise you'll lose the time, gold, think of gold, think of God's glory, / God. Gold, glory, God. Heaven's glory, the gold, the ark, his covered mercy seats, gold, everything's gold. God. God. So when God, that's the church. And since the church is God's gold, it's God's. It's his church. So therefore, what are we going to find God doing? Verse 1 of chapter 2. Unto the angel, the messenger of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he, that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh, is walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, candlesticks. He's walking. Here we are in his presence. If we're going to be gold, if we're going to be his, not ours, ours do it every one. If you're going to be his, here he is. That's what he said. Now, keeping that in mind, and so then we go, and church history takes place, and we go all the way over, if we can, to chapter 3, and he's walking in the midst. When you come to chapter 3, and in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is the church in Laodicea. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him, will sup with him, and he with me. I used to walk in the churches, but the churches have left me out like the temple, like Israel, and I don't walk in them. And therefore, they are very vulnerable to do what they do, the way they do it, how they do it. Now, having said that, and therefore, God is in, God is out. Now, and if we go run right through, here's the rest of the end of the church age in which we live, here's the tribulation, and lo and behold, what have we got? We've got the great movement of ecumenism, Protestantism, Catholicism, Islam, all of it coming together, and a great power coming together doing what they're doing. Wow. And in doing that, that's the ecumenical religious system in which we live, which is now fully harmonized more and more with the world system. But his church is gone. God took it at the rapture, so it doesn't go through the tribulation. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, that's church history. We're at the end of the age, so don't be alarmed at all. Just be surprised it's what it is at the moment. Now, in the process of all of that, so God has chosen. Go over with me, please, to Acts chapter 1 for a moment. And we know God has given the church a wonderful, wonderful position. Now, in the flesh, we can't do it. We mentioned this morning a little bit. How are you going to enjoy being saved without God? How you enjoy being able to breathe without your lungs, physical? How can you enjoy being saved without God? How can you be sanctified without God? How can you be holy without God? How can you have life without God? How are you going to have anything of God's without him? You can't. And that's the whole point. The Lord Jesus Christ was a perfect humanity in tune with God the Father. Our assignment, as he was sent, we're sent. What are we doing? We're honoring the life of God inside of us as the life of God works out. It worked out for 3 1/3 years, and we slide over after the cross, and here we are. The same life, the same Savior, the same God, doing the same things if and when he is able. It hasn't changed. He never said, well, as my Father sent me, so sent I you. If you don't like that, I'll give you a new assignment. He has no new assignment. And so in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know, we're going to receive power as his witnesses. And God help us over to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, we're going to go and remind ourselves as Peter on the day of Pentecost. And what did he remind these Jewish people about? And he reminded them, verse 2 and 32, "And Jesus, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." We're all witnesses. That's what they're doing. The 120 of the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit of God, and they were all, what's it was all about? It was all about Jesus Christ had given a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way to give expression to his power. And he demonstrated it in that body of believers on the day of Pentecost. Over to chapter 4. And in chapter 4 and verse 2. Here are the people speaking out, honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what it's all about, living a life that God had given them to live. It wasn't their life, it was his life. And that's why it was so easy to do. Because it wasn't something we had to conjure up and make happen, be a good guy, etc. No, no, we're just going to be it. So now, in chapter 4, verse 2, being grieved, what did they say, Sadducees and that? Being grieved that they taught the people, preached through Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. We're witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what they did. Now hang on, sliding over. And in, you know all these things. And in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, they never went to college or whatever, they were unlearned and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant, that means because, you know, you didn't, did you get an education? Otherwise, you must be stupid. That isn't true. And you save a lot of money today being stupid. Do you understand? Did that come out all right? You know, you save a lot of money and you'll be ahead of the game. Anyway, yeah. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them. What about them? They had been with Jesus. What was it about? What is it about your life? Jesus. Do you know Jesus, God in you? That's a horrible thing. The world didn't want to ever understand, did they, even to the cross and afterwards, that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. They didn't want to understand that. And you know what? They don't want to understand that you house the same God. They don't want to understand. That's impossible, impossible, impossible. It's impossible for Jesus, it's impossible for you, and that's where we live. And that's what we've got to overcome, because otherwise we get locked down in and by our flesh, our humanity, as we'll see in a moment. Now, so therefore, chapter 4 and verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Spirit, Holy Ghost. He's the one that makes it work. And they spake the word of God with boldness, no hesitancy whatsoever. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of what? The resurrection. Oh, resurrection of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. How could they possibly have such a power? By the grace of God. The grace of God. That's how. That's what they did. What are we doing? We're here in the grace of God to demonstrate the wonderful person of God who we don't have any right, no way to ever do so except God in his grace died on the cross to save us, to make it possible. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, to Hebrews chapter 13. And in Hebrews chapter 13, you would take note, if you might, chapter 13. And picking up, please, in verse 5. God, that's how Hebrews closes. Let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness. Don't get all caught up in everything. And be content with such things as you have. For reason, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remember, that has five negatives. And five negatives lined up in the Greek are absolutely, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. The word forsake that you're reading in verse 5 is the same word, same verb, that you remember it. Our Lord said, my God, why hast thou, what, forsaken me? And he was forsaken by God in his perfect humanity. God left him in his perfect, in an awesome way, so that we would never be left. I will never forsake you. Hang on, next verse. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So I'm not going to be worried about anything, man, disease, germs, whatever it is. I'm not going to let that overcome me, not when I'm saved. Come on. So now, here we are, and the end of verse 6, and I will not fear what man shall do. So fear. I'm afraid. All right, hang on. Now over, if you would, to Mark chapter 7. We're looking at fear. We're looking at afraid. Because that's a problem. And Mark chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 19. Because because it entereth not into the heart, but into the belly. Oh, I got to read verse 18, I guess. And he saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive, understand, that whatsoever things from without enter into the body and into it and cannot defile it? Because it, verse 8:19, it entereth not into the heart, just down your esophagus and your stomach and your large, small intestine, large intestine, out the door. It doesn't do that. Your hot dog disappeared out the door. And it goeth out into the drought and purgeth all meats, so everything disappears. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, down in the heart, not in the stomach, down in the heart, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts. Remember we just read. Evil. Fear of evil. Hang on. Proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness. That's where rioting and all of that can come in. Deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, and pride, foolishness. And verse 20, underline, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So now, here we are looking at the heart, and the heart of man is evil. So our heart is evil. So what about evil? What is it about evil that we need to understand and pursue? Now, keep in mind that evil as you proceed, is going to go, and all evil is the Genesis 3:5. Evil is the opposite of good. God is good. Evil is bad. Evil is that where God is left out. When God is left out, there's no good. So we're trying to live a life in and of ourselves, in our flesh. No flesh shall glory in my presence. We're trying to live a life in our flesh. It's an evil. It's part of our system. What do you mean evil? Yeah, it's without God. So there's no producing of good. There is no good. No good, no God's good, right? We're not saved by good works. And there is no good thing in Romans 7 and all that Paul would say. In me dwelleth what? No good thing. So it isn't about good. It's about having an evil heart. And an evil heart causes what? Fears. Where do fears come from? All of them. They come from an evil heart. If it was good, what would you be afraid of? If it was good in God, how could you be anything except good? But we aren't good. We got an old nature. It's evil. And it makes for fears. So you want to know where the phobias come from and the fears come from? They come from an evil heart. You got one. We think wrong. We twist things, change things, manipulate, maneuver. That's what we do. That's how we live. That's how we survive. Depending on your culture and everything else. So now, here we are looking. And in the process, so the evil, the fears that come, they're going to come along. And we try to protect ourselves and work things out in the light of our fears. We try to manipulate the fear of death, the fear of this, the fear of that. And we try to manage our life as the world system does, as much as we understand it. And so we do that. And in the process, when do we succeed? Well, we never succeed. It's like the balloon, you know, illustration. The balloon with all the different knobs and everything. And you push the knob in on this side, and it pops out on the other side. You didn't get rid of anything. I did something. I'm doing better. I'm thinking better. How are you thinking better? Well, you shifted it in your mind. You shifted something. And it looks better, but you've got the same stuff in you that you had to begin with. Nothing's gone. Nothing's gone. Nothing's fixed. You got the same, remember the potato information illustration, you got the same bag of potatoes you had to start with. You didn't get less of them. You didn't change them. So here we are looking, and evil is there, and evil prevails. And wins. That's what it does. So all of our fears are there. Even in the good guys and the noblest thing, all of it is of ourself. Human good is what? The exercise of a human trying to produce good that matches up to God's required righteousness and God's goodness. And it never does. It never does. It all fails. It all fails. And everyone that tries to do it, you know what? They die. They all die. That's what they do. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over to Proverbs and chapter 1. So we got fears. And you have a fear. I'm fear of the catching this. I'm fear of communicating that. Those are fears. If you keep them in balance, that's fine. If they get out of balance, they control your life. And when are you going to be free? When are you going to be disease-free? When the system says so, right? When you can go into the grocery store and they don't tag you with a mask. That's when you're free, and not until then. And everyone that's going to go by this is going to be governed by this all the way till they're done. And if they get a vaccine, wonderful, wonderful. What happens if they have a second wave? Oh, can you just imagine? You can anticipate and imagine all kinds of things. The solution is not going to be in the system. I don't know where God's going to let this go. But for we, his people, we ought to be able to be a true light in the darkness. And that doesn't mean we're way out in left field. We understand reasonableness and fairness and people's fears. And we can't get rid of people's fears. I can't say don't be afraid. I can say that to somebody. I can say that. I've done that years ago, 100 hospital or something. And they were all concerned about something, and I said, you don't need to be afraid. We're going to trust God. But the person had never trusted God like that. So this had to be a brand new thing in a brand new moment that they're going to trust God now. They haven't trusted God like that. So how much are they going to trust God? They should have been trusting God like that before they went in the hospital. They should have been trusting God. So with nothing to it, just go right through. Whatever, you want to get whatever, get it. So what? So what? It ain't going to isn't going to happen. If God doesn't want it, there's no way on earth. It's his body. We just shared that this morning. And he'll say, well, no, it's my body. Well, then that's why it happens. Because it's our body. It's our thoughts. It's our system. So when we're going to operate by our system, God said, you're going to reap what you sow. And that's what you get. Now, you could have trusted me, but you didn't choose to. Except not you guys, but the stuff. Now, having said that, Proverbs. Thank you. And in Proverbs chapter 1, and picking up, if I can, quickly, verse 25, I think. Proverbs 1 and 25, yeah. And if I may. But you have said it not. This is the wisdom, wisdom personified. Who is wisdom? God is wisdom. The Lord Jesus Christ is our wisdom and our knowledge. Here it's personified, given life. And it wants to be a partner. It wants to be with us as we journey down the corridor of time. That's the context. Verse 25. But you have need, said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. You're going to be afraid, and you're going to say, and I'm going to say you're silly. You didn't have to be afraid, but you didn't trust me. Verse 27. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why not? Verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They just didn't do it. They could have done it, but they didn't do it. Fear God. Fear God. Fear God. And we're looking at that. So now, in the light of that fear, in the light of that awesome, awesome movement, position, if you would, over, if you would, please, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28 will help us. So in the process, God said, you could have trusted me, but they didn't. I'll do it another way for you. We're looking at Jeremiah, have been on prayer meeting. And here's God reminding them for all these years that Nebuchadnezzar's going to level the city. And we're looking at Zechariah at the moment. He's the last king before Nebuchadnezzar comes in. And here comes Zedekiah. And here they are. And what are they going to do? Well, they could trust God. They have waited too long, but they could turn to God. But they didn't. They didn't do it. Now, God, could you have stopped? It was right on the doorstep. The bomb was about to explode. Could you have stopped the bomb? Absolutely. Absolutely. But they didn't trust me. And they kept right on where they were going. And they ended up out of it. So, God, here we are looking for you to help us and aid us in your life. And isn't that how you live if you're saved? Well, that's how we have to live. It's his body for real. Then we learn to do that and understand that. And so when we get things, we look to God to take care of us, help us through it. If we need to rest, we take rest. If we need to take whatever pills, we take them, whatever we do. And we do what we have to do. That's what we do. And it has to, what are we doing? We're trusting God. And you could have the flu for 10 years, or you could have the flu for 10 minutes. God knows, but you're trusting God. And you're able to go through it, and God enables us and makes us. That's how we're still alive. That's how we're still here. And God, we're trusting. And God saves us all the time in all kinds of ways. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in Deuteronomy, and in chapter 28, picking up, if I may, in chapter 28, picking up, please, chapter 28 and in verse 58. 28 and 58. And in the process, I'm going to try to get there and read 28 and 58. If thou wilt not observe, not going to do it, if you're not going to do everything I told you to do, all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear me. That's the whole purpose of the Bible. Get you to rightly fear God, reverence God, honor God. Hang on. This reverent mayest fear, this glorious and fearful, there's your word, fearful name, the Lord thy God, an awesome, 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 awesome God. And we were in awe of God because of his awesomeness. Now, he isn't awesome. He isn't able to handle anything. Well, he isn't very awesome to us if he can't handle anything. If everything's overcoming us, what kind of an awesome God is he? Not much. So we're looking to God. And therefore, next verse, 59. Then, the Lord will make thy plagues, pestilences, wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues of long continuance. God said, listen, if you're going to leave me out of it, there's going to be one flu bug after another, one pestilence after another. You want to leave me out? I let it happen. Now you either trust me or you didn't. No, I'm not going to trust you. And God, here comes another one at the end of verse 59. And sore sicknesses and long continuance, verse 60, oh, you wouldn't, God. Yes, he did. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cling unto thee. And all, I hope I never get that over. They got that over in Super Duper Island somewhere. I hope I don't get that, you know. Well, God said, okay, that's what he got. I'm going to let it happen. I told you, if you don't let me be the good God in your life, you're left with evil. And evil is the cause of all your fears. Because there's no good. And there's no God. That's why you got a problem. That's why you got the fears. You hung up with them. Not you guys. Now, in the light of that, sliding over, if I can, picking up, please, going over to Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, picking up in thought. And if I may, going, if I can, directly, the Lord speaking in the light of persecution, in the light of the problems they were going to face by the world system. Verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You want to fear anybody? Fear me, said God. Don't be afraid. So they kill you. No, that's our problem, isn't it? I could catch the plague. I may give you the plague. Wow. Fear. Fear. Isn't that why people do it? Fear. No, I want to be nice. No, nice. We aren't talking about being nice. That's sort of silly. You have to protect. Understandably. That's why when I mentioned it this morning, we did. When you go to the dentist, and you open your mouth, doesn't the dentist have all this stuff on him with these big goggles looking out at you? Doesn't he have that? Why? To protect you from him. Because that means he's in your mouth. And when the surgeons are there and they got you wide open with the heart and liver, everything's all looking out there, and they're leaning over it, they don't sneeze in front of you, on top of you. They got all these gloves and masks and everything to protect what? To keep them from giving you the germs. So I understand the problem, and you do. And we understand we got a dumb virus that won't tell us, have a little announcement, you know. A pink dot will come in your head that you have the virus. And that would be easy. Then we just look for people with pink dots and then try to get rid of the pink dots. But it isn't that way. So now, having said that, in verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? God takes care of birds, ants, bugs. Think of we mentioned this morning, 3 billion marine viruses in 1 ounce of water. And you have to think about that, because there's a lot of ocean. That's an awful lot of viruses. And God has them all out there. To what? Balance everything. To balance the bad guys. And that's why the whales come along, don't they, with plankton, planks, whatever they do. Don't they come along? And they open a big mouth. They could put a truck in a blue whale or whatever in the mouth. Open a big mouth and let all that ocean come in. All that plankton comes in. Now, you wouldn't think that huge blue whale would get enough food in him with all of those zillions of bacteria, etc. But he does. What can I tell you? That's amazing to me. Now, so in the light of that, dear friends, I hear verse 30. Very hairs of your head are numbered. Well, that's pretty important. After all, it's his body. And if he needs hair, he'll give you hair. If he doesn't want it, he'll take it away. He don't care about the hair. You want a hair, are you? You're a person inside the body, aren't you? It's the person inside, not the dumb body. So, and then, of course, verse 31, fear ye not, therefore, are you not more value than many sparrows? So having said that, keeping that in mind, you are more important than many sparrows, to say the least. You're more important than the hairs of your head are all numbered, and God has a wonderful care for you. And God loves being taken care of you. In the assembly, in the body, that's what God wants it to. And you want to delight in that, that you have, remember, we make believe we're all childlike in a good way. And God requires childlikeness, doesn't he? Not to be childish, to be childlike. So that we're trusting, dependent on the Father. And God loves being it. He loves doing it. That's what he likes. And that's why the Father, all the time, Father. And the little kid grows up, and he doesn't care about the refrigerator food. He doesn't care about the viruses. He doesn't care about anything. He just cares about growing up and trusting, and he enjoys the day. And why does he enjoy the day? He doesn't even understand the day. He never heard the news. He don't know what's going on. He don't need to. He's going and trusting the parents, the Father. He's trusting. That's how they grow up. That's how you grew up. And you did that. And you trusted. How are we to trust God? What do we know? What are we controlling? Nothing. We're controlling nothing at all. Like little kids. We don't control anything. We think we do, but we don't much. So God, you're helping us. That's right. I'm helping you. And I love doing it. I want you to trust me. I want you to be dependent on me. So you don't be afraid. Now hang on. Over if you would please. In the light of all of that, keeping that in mind, over if you would. Over to, for the sake of, let's see what we got time. Over to, Over to Philippians. May not be the good order, but at least it's something. Philippians. We're talking about being afraid. And there are a lot of people afraid. And you'll know people that are afraid, don't you? You must. And that's why the riot is going to have a field day. These bad guys that go around the country causing, because with us dear people that are all afraid and frustrated with everything, and then you come along and wow, maybe they fix something, and we join them without, not you guys, but people do. And they get caught up in a mood, a movement that's bad, because we're frustrated. People are frustrated. And you can't run, you know all these things. You can't run a restaurant and have four tables outside in the middle of Main Street, Middletown, make believe, and four tables, and you're going to try to serve people there and keep your business open to pay the taxes, pay the rent, pay everybody with four tables, 85 feet apart, and have all of that. And they got all that out there, and they're all going to do, and you're going to keep the business going? Come on. You can't keep, your profit margin's low enough as it is. And now to do that, you couldn't run a business. So how long are these businesses going to keep going? You can't. You can't do it. You see. So therefore, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, which you know, I just wanted you to tag, put the pieces together. Wherefore, the Spirit of God, Paul, said, the penman, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the word trembling means to shiver with fear, to be so afraid. You're shivering. 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 I got fear. Fear is a rightly looking to God and giving him due respect and honor. And that when you fear God properly, it changes your character, conduct, because you're fearing God. And when you fear God, you allow God to be God and all that God is in your life. When you fear him properly, when you fear him negatively, you run away from God because of God. Like in the days of the tribulation, Revelation 6. Fear God, then go hide in the mountains. Wow. So now, here we are looking, and fear and trembling, shivering. And that has to do with distrust. It means that you have, to say it, easier for me, shivering, I got that. But, it's much better than that, for helping us, that you have no confidence in the flesh. You don't trust yourself. You have a profound reverence for God that keeps God being God and keeps you down on the low level, keeps you humble, trembling. So what are we going to do? We'll work out our own relationship to God with fear and trembling. And why are we going to do that? Verse 13, for a reason, it is God which worketh, there's your word, worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, either you believe that or you don't, right? If I'm going to work out God's will for my life, and God's there to make it happen, that must mean 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's what I'm supposed to do. And how many people are doing that? How many people even are interested in doing that? To say it bluntly, not many, they don't care. They got a little something, but they aren't looking at it. They're trying to make everything work instead of keeping their heart right before God. And it's God which worketh in me. He that hath begun a good work is going to finish it. Philippians 1:6. So he's going to do it. Uh-huh. Now, Peter. Over if you would please. In 1 Peter. And you'll see it again. And in 1 Peter, And in chapter 1, God, so you tell us to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, for it is you working. Now, and then what? So now we're going to go through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Each time we're going to do what we have to do. And we're going to come, if we can, in 1 Peter and in chapter 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. God, we're accountable. Work out your own salvation for fear and trembling. The end of verse 17. And past the time of your sojourning, your dwelling is a stranger on earth. In how? In fear. A healthy respect for God who's outworking his will in your life. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if you line up with it. That's Bible. That's God, what you did. That's what Christ died on the cross for. Not to make it so you have a building and can come in and out of it, etc. Now, so in the light of that, and in 1 Peter, over, if you would please, to chapter 3, and picking up in verse 14. Chapter 3, and in verse 14. And you will note, and in chapter 3, and in verse 14, we're going to see it again. And God, what are you going to say? Well, verse 14. But if you suffer, for righteousness' sake, what do you say? Who do you think you are to not obey the rules or whatever? I'm not interested. I'm interested in obeying God and honoring the rules properly. That's all. And if they require something, then you do it. I can't go into the X whatever store it is. If they require a mask, they have masks, then you have to wear a mask. And I had to go to the heart doctor, and they stood at the door and ran a thermometer by me, whatever that did. And they said, where's your mask? I said, what do you want a mask for? She said, you can't come in. I got in there with the doctor, and he didn't have a mask on. No, I said, now, doc, I held it, because a mask takes my ear thing out. You know the things over your ears? I'm going to lose them, so I'm not about to go and put that dumb thing on. You know, I hold it. I held it, and he didn't, I'm not going to wear it. You have to wear it, I don't have to wear it. That's fine. Fine. Comfortable. Now, so here, verse 14. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terrors, their terror, there's your little word. Don't be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Don't get all troubled up and upset. They're concerned, we're going to die, we're all going to die. Well, maybe we will, maybe we won't. God knows, but I'm going to trust God's. So if I'm going to die, I want to die in the will of God. I don't want to die outside the will of God. I want to die trusting God. And if that's what he wants, that's what's going to happen. And if he doesn't want that, the plane can crash and everyone will die and I'll be sitting there alive. If that's what God wants, if God wants that, he'll do it. I have no problem with that. That's what God wants. That's fine. If he doesn't want it, that's fine. Now, so God, we're looking. So don't be their terror and their trouble. Be sanctified. Sanctify the Lord God. Set the Lord God apart. Sanctify. Be holy. Your practice being holy. And your time sojourning, stranger, dwelling on earth, in fear. 1 Peter 1:17. Now, so in the 1:17. So now we're going to do that, looking to God, and you're going to be able to give an answer to every man that's going to ask you a reason of the hope that is within you. That's what you're looking for. They want to say, how come you're like that? Because I'm trusting a great God, and obviously if I have a problem, I'm going to try to put whatever need to take whatever pill and do whatever the doctor says and whatever is required, because I don't want to get other people sick. So I certainly would do that without any problem. So would you. It's common sense. Now, so therefore, God, they're going to ask a reason of the hope that's in us. And that's what they're going to ask. What is it? Why? Why? Because we have a great God who saves us. He saves us. And he has a wonderful will for our life. And our life is his life. And whatever God wants, that's what we want. We want to be a little light in the darkness to the people of the world and be a good witness so that we are bearing record of who he is. And you're going to ask a reason why I'm like that. But if I'm going to do everything that you do, like you do it, and feel like you do, and fear like you do, I'm not different than you, and there's no hope in me. You aren't going to see anything to ask about my life, because my life is just like your life. Right? Just like your life. So I don't need to ask you anything, because I see. You're just like us. I don't want to hear that. You're just like us. Now, so therefore, if I can, over in closing to that which you know, I hope you got a little bit. Fear. All the phobias from an evil heart. And you have to understand that. And if you aren't careful looking to God, and you can't control it. So don't say, I control it. No, you don't. Because your old nature is your old nature, and it's busy being your old nature 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you aren't going to overcome it, and you can have all the maneuvering in your mind and manipulating with your thoughts. Do it, but you aren't going to fix it. You got a problem with God's good and God's grace and God's mercy and God's everything care. And therefore, you need to look to God. And when you look to God, then people are going to know the difference. There's a difference about you. You eat the same food, you can get the same virus, you can get the same thing, you can be in the same ventilator. But what's not an issue? That's not an issue. No, I want you to know, have that, and God's going to do what he does. Wow. And that's what you're communicating. I had to do that once in a hospital 100 years ago. In Middlesex, I had a little something done, and the other bed was getting the same thing done, and he was concerned about it. And we talked, if I remember right, and it was a good talk. I didn't have the concerns that he had. I didn't have them. It's all right, whatever. And he sees that. He could see it. If I have the same concerns, the same fears, I'm not different than anybody else. So now, over to Isaiah, I said. Isaiah, you know it. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Says it very directly and easily. Isaiah chapter 8. I'm picking up, if I may, in thought, in God's wonderful grace. Don't be afraid. And be a good encouragement to others. Verse, picking up, you know, the Assyrians, they were going to go and look to the Assyrians and the southern tent, Judah and Jerusalem, looking to Assyria to come and protect them from the tribe in the north, etc., the 10 tribes, etc., protect them. And Isaiah said, you don't need to do that. And what did God tell Isaiah and them? If I can. Verse 12. Say ye not a confederacy, a plot, a planning, all of them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy, plan. What are you saying things against us for, different than us? Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Don't be, they're all afraid about everything. And you're not. They're frustrated about everything, but you're not. And that's the difference. Now, therefore, verse 13. We just read it in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Now, God, you're going to say it. You said it earlier. I did. Sanctify, set apart the Lord God of hosts, and underline in your mind himself. Who am I setting apart? The God who I fear, the God who I reverence, the awesomeness of God, I set him apart. And there's nothing more than, other than, anyhow, any way, any shape, any form, that is better than, can overcome God. God is sovereign. Awesome. He's the boss. He's the head. Wow. Sanctify the Lord God, and let him be. Verse 13. Let him be. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. You want to be afraid? Fear God. Fear God rightly, and God will take care of it. Does that make sense? I'm trying to help you. Otherwise, the future, if it keeps going and nothing changes, we're going to be into September, could be in January, and just going to be a little remnant trying to keep the fire going because the other people are trying to get through the problem. And you conquered the problem because you understood what God has done for you. And you don't have to work at it. It is already a real, legitimate truth and fact. You don't have to make it happen. God has already saved you, sanctified you, and set you apart. And all you have to do, we walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. God, you already did everything. I did it. You don't have to beg me. You don't have to plead. All you got to do is trust me. That's what you do. Now, so what am I going to do to make it happen? Nothing. You're going to trust him. And that's how you're going to proceed. Anyway, God help us. I hope you got a little bit in the process of it. I'm just trying to get us a little bit more lined up as we ought to be. And we have every right to be lined up. And we have every right to enjoy, to honor God and thank him. In the middle of tonight, the work, home, school, whatever your situation is, your conditions, you're going to look to God and bumble through. You may fall, get up. Get discouraged, then take courage. And get depressed, press on. Get out of your depression and press on. And what happened to your depression? Oops, it all disappeared. You see? So you don't let it get you. And that's what you're going to have to do, enjoy it. Otherwise, you're going to be all, I'm not at war with anyone of whatever they want, whatever people want. They're going to do it. Anyway, I'm not going to fix anything. I'm just me. So I'm just going to do what I do. I hope I'm a little to be a pain in the neck to you. I always wanted to be a pain in the neck to you. I've told you that over the years. I want to be a pain in the neck and bug you. I'm not interested in having a nice exegetical three points in the outline, and you mark them and out the door and you forgot it. I want you to be changed. I don't want you to be changed. God wants you to be changed. God wants you to be with it. And that's what it's about. And that's all I can tell you. That's all I've ever learned in all my little life. A long time with God. A long time with God. And that's what I learned. That's what I'm learning. That's what I got. So God bless you, and just enjoy a virus-free week. Did that come out all right? And God help us. It's an awful thing, but God allowed it. God allowed it for his reasons. And God said, are you going to fear me? Or are you going to fear the plague? No, you fear me, I'll take care of the plague. That's what I'll do. It's my pleasure to take care of the plague. And if I want you to get it, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. What happens if I want to give it to you? Big time. and you have to have 3 ventilators. Everything. Is it all right? It's all right, God. Actually, it is. It's all right. God will never do that. No. God is more concerned and gracious to you and me than it will ever know. That's why he's patient and waits in his mercy and long before being angry to bear with us in the dullness of our heart and mind, fumbling around, trying to do things, be things. Nothing wrong with that. It's wonderful. But the more and more we can get in line with where we need to be, we'll enjoy the trip down the corridor of time. Even so, come. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and mercy and kindness. God, all we do is say a couple of things. So deal with us. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much. In Christ's name.